Welcome to our post Gilmore Girls special. Hi guys, we've seen the whole show. It's Pam and Marima. We're freaking out.
Oh my gosh.
Yep. So that's the thing that happened. We have seen the entire Gilmore Girls revival. It aired on Netflix yesterday. We are recording this as of the 26th of November. So look, not a lot of time has passed. Pam, you finished it today, right?
I finished it this morning.
Yeah, and I watched all 6 hours yesterday, which, let me tell you, was a huge mistake for many reasons. but yeah, we're going to be talking about everything that happened. This is totally full of spoilers. There are no spoiler-free sections or anything like that. So if you have not seen all of the Gilmore Girls revival, please stop now. We really don't want to ruin this for you if you have avoided, you know, being spoiled on Twitter and everything. And we don't want the place that it happens right to be on our show. So
basically, we're not responsible for your curiosity. Nope. If you keep listening, like, we have forewarned you. Just
yeah.
Back away slowly.
Exactly. just in case this is the first time you're listening, of course, these are the Gilmore Girls specials we're doing from Hype Podcast, which is a podcast on hyperball.com. We did recaps for all of seven seasons. All seven seasons, we rewatched them, we recapped them. Now we're going to talk about the new stuff. And like we said on our last episode, this is going to be kind of quick and dirty because we do have full specials planned for all four episodes. And those will be coming through December as we record them. So we'll be going much more in depth on the episodes there and talking about, you know, all the things specific to those. Maybe some Easter eggs we spotted, some things that we caught on the rewatch. And yeah, we'll be getting all of your feedback when we talk about those. So if you want to get in touch, we are on Twitter at Hypable Hype, HypableHype. And you can find us on Instagram at Hypable Hype. If you want to send us some longer feedback, you can send us an email. We are hype@hypable.com. And actually, some of you guys got on that already, which we love. So we are going to get to some of that a little later on. Pam, first, how do you feel?
I don't know. I'm so confused with just, I don't know how to feel. Should we just like jump in and talk about the last four words?
It's like, okay, you want to get that out of the way?
Well, yeah, because I feel like, that's the point of my conflicting emotions.
Same. Okay, so the last four words are, let's do a little reenactment. You be Rory, I'll be Lorelai.
Okay, ready?
Yeah.
Hey, Mom.
Yeah?
I'm pregnant.
Cut to black.
Ah!
End of Gilmore Girls. Pam and Marima lose their damn minds.
Basically, it was so funny because I was literally, it's no secret by now that the Gilmore Girls gives my tear ducts a workout, okay? So like this last episode, there's all this beautiful stuff happening and I'm just like wiping away my tears. Luke's got that emotional speech and Suki just comes in and says the right thing. And I even got like a tiny little bit emotional when I thought that Rory was finally going to say goodbye for real this time to Logan. And then all of a sudden these last four words pop up and I just, my tear ducts clear up and I'm like, what? That's not an ending.
Yeah. So I have, look, I have a lot of issues with this. Hashtag not my last four words. I was feeling the same. We'll get to a little later, but I was feeling some Gilmore Girls fatigue, I have to say, in the third episode. I watched them basically all the way through, which in hindsight was definitely a mistake because it was really exhausting. But in the last episode, I was really loving it. I felt like it felt right. The pacing felt right. Like the characters felt more like themselves than they probably had been. We were finally seeing some, you know, some like things come together that had been dragging out over the last 4.5 hours. And we were starting to get some answers to things and, you know, stuff was happening. And then I have to say, as soon as they're sitting on the gazebo, I was like, oh, I don't know how much time is left in this, but there can't be much. And because we didn't have the, tracker thing on the TV, so we couldn't see exactly where it was up to. But I knew it couldn't be much, and I just kept thinking this would be like the perfect send-off for them on the gazebo, and are they going to have time to like do something else and then kind of set them up again by themselves? No, they're not. Oh my God, this is it. And like, so every group of four words that they start saying in that conversation, my brain was just going, are these it? And then finally they say them and it went to black. And I was watching with Andrew from Hyperball and our friend Mike, and we were just, I just stared at them both and was like, what? And Andrew had already been spoiled on what they were. So he was like, yeah, last four words. What'd you think? And I was like,
see, this doesn't mean as much to him as it does to everybody else.
Because no, he exactly. Like, been waiting, exactly.
You know? So, but right. I want to know, like, so did Mike have a similar reaction? Because he's kind of like our unofficial Gilmore guy over here.
Yeah. Yeah, he did. He did. We were both kind of sitting there in like, just that what kind of shock for a second. I really don't like them. I'm just going to put that out there. I know, like, there are going to be people listening to this who think if you're probably Gilmore Girls fans, like, you should just be grateful to get them and, like, blah, blah, blah. Here's my issue with it. I have two issues. One is I feel like these words were planned to be said when Rory was, like, 22. So that is a whole other issue, I think, about what Amy Sherman-Palladino kind of intended this show to be, which is maybe not the show that we thought it was in hindsight. And second, because those were the last four words that she was aiming towards, a lot of the things in Rory's storyline kind of make sense in hindsight, in retrospect. Like, if you work backwards from those, if you consider the revival as almost just a reset of, like, season 7 and sort of what she wanted to happen with Rory and getting Rory to that point in a way that, like, vaguely made sense. And it just felt, I think it did a disservice to the character. I feel like it really does a disservice to the show. I know some people will like it and, like, cool, but I mean, that kind of sort of, I really don't like it for the character. I really, really don't. Like, the entire point of the show is about her not reliving Lorelai's quote-unquote mistakes, right? And we've seen, it's not like Rory's had this amazing career in between and now she's like, cool, I, like, want to have a kid. Like, basically, okay, it's like 9 years later and what she's struggling now and she, you know, can't hold down a job and, like, she doesn't really have anything else going on and, oh, she's pregnant. It just felt really kind of, I don't know, it was like not, you know, I felt kind of protective of Rory in that moment, if that makes sense. And yeah, I sort of didn't want that to happen to her character, even though, like, obviously we've talked about our issues with her, but do you know what I mean? I just felt like, oh, not Rory, because I kept imagining 22-year-old Rory. Like, I kept imagining Rory going off to be on the campaign trail with Obama, but it wouldn't have been that Rory. It would have been pregnant Rory, I wonder, right?
Well, maybe not. I mean, I don't know. Would they have, did she have plans maybe to fast forward the series? Like, because that's something that we don't know. Because
yeah, there's, like, that's
time
true.
Jumps are a thing. It is possible that she would have, we would have seen a bit of a time jump between, like, because remember, she wanted 8 seasons originally.
Yeah,
so it's possible
exactly.
that they would have tied up everything that she set up in season 6 and season 7, and then they would have done, like, a small time jump
sure.
between season 7 and season 8. So we might have been seeing a Rory that was closer to 30. I don't necessarily
yeah, that's
think.
True.
I mean, like, at the same time. Like,
but at the same time, I feel like, do you know what I mean when I say yeah. I kind of feel like this entire season was just set up for that sentence? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think that a lot of weight was put on those four words. And I think that, honestly, I can't imagine four words that would have made saying, like, possibly goodbye forever completely perfect.
Right.
Like, I'm trying to think of four words that would have made me feel at peace with knowing that this is all we're going to get.
I don't think there are, but I don't think that, like, that's not what these are about for me. It's not about, oh, I don't like leaving it off this way. It's like, it makes me think really differently. I know it doesn't seem fair, but, you know, I just watched it yesterday. So these are very immediate reactions. It kind of makes me feel a little differently about the show. If, like, this is where it was coming back to, like, this full circle thing, I don't know.
I think that it would have made us feel a little bit more comfortable if Rory had gotten to, because, like you said, she's still kind of floundering right now.
Right.
And I think that, like, that's very relatable. They talked a little bit about, like, the 30-something group in Stars Hollow. So it's very, like, the idea of what Rory has and what she doesn't have at this age is relatable to people that are around our age or a little bit older even. So I understand that, but I think it is a shame because you see somebody like Paris who she's the career woman. She's been allowed to flourish, but she also has two kids. And it would have been nice to have seen Rory get something similar.
Yeah, I actually, it's funny you mentioned Paris because I almost feel like the message of this season was like, you can never do it all. Like,
well, that's true.
Has a career and Paris has the kids, but oh, Paris can't have a relationship. And then like Rory has a relationship, but when she does, like, her career is falling through. I mean, if you call what she has with Logan a relationship, and then like that stops, and then oh, she has the book, but then oh, she's pregnant, but like she doesn't really have a career. And like Lane is just Mrs. Kim, right? Like Lane doesn't have the dream, Lane doesn't have the job, and just she has the family. And I hate that's a crap message. Like, I hate that message.
Yeah.
That it's sucks. So and you I know it's like, so funny though, that's too, me is reading between the lines, but do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, it's actually kind of ironic because Christiane Amanpour has, like, she's always been very vocal about being able to do both. And, like, that's Rory's right. idol. And,
I wonder if she saw the revival.
And yet Rory is not able to have it all. You know what I mean? Like, I was thinking about that while all this was happening.
All right, can we talk about something else?
I would
really love to talk about something positive because I don't want this to be a whole thing. So can we talk about Emily? Because
I loved
her storyline in this. That was my favorite thing, I think. Continuing on from like our season 7 discussion, I felt like, again, Emily's storyline was kind of the most consistent and coherent going through the series. I think, again, it just has so much to do with Kelly Bishop. She is just the best. Like, she's just the best. But you know, her like grieving and everything and the way it ended up, I really liked it. I felt like seeing Emily in like canvas shoes and you know, doing the tour thing and everything.
The I loved it. Yeah.
Yeah. It's so sweet. What do you think?
I know, I love that. And you know, Kelly Bishop, man, what she can do with just a look is incredibly amazing. And she, oh my God, I don't think that any of us ever doubted that she could get back into Emily's like shoes and stuff, but it was just so amazing to see her be that character after all of these years. And I feel like this season, if anything, like I think Rory kind of took a backseat almost. It was really cathartic for Lorelai and Emily. And that was really nice to see. Because a lot of what we always talk about is especially like on our, what we have talked about on our past specials is that what Lorelai and Emily really need to do is to have like a conversation and really come prepared to talk about the mistakes that they've made so they can put all of that aside and like turn a fresh page. And because there's so much that's left unsaid between these two. And I think that at the end of the day, I liked their journey a lot. I really enjoyed kind of seeing them come to terms with the people that they are, and it makes me feel good for them.
Yeah, it's interesting you say that because I really had a turning point moment between sort of episodes 3 and 4. Like, if you asked me right after episode 3 how I was feeling, I would say Lorelai is driving me crazy. I can't understand, you know, even more than usual. Like, I just can't understand the way she's acting towards her mother and the way she's acting towards Rory and like all of this stuff. And then in episode 4, I really switched and was suddenly so much more about Lorelai's storyline, not because of the Luke thing, but because of how it tied up with Emily. And that felt really cathartic, like you say, and really natural. And then the Rory stuff kind of went the opposite direction where I was like, oh wait, the things I thought I was kind of okay with in here, suddenly not. But I think, so much has to do with like, with Emily. I mean, Lauren Graham put in an amazing performance in this season. Like, don't get me wrong. I think I always, as we have talked about on the previous specials, like I tend to err more on Emily's side. And when that, like they go do the flashback to the funeral and what happened after the funeral, like I was basically watching that I think I was literally watching it between my fingers because I couldn't watch the screen because it was just so painful to see how that unfolded. And and that was kind of what Lauren Graham, like what Lorelai's role was in the first few episodes of this. Like, she was really in a sort of a spiral, in a rut or something, obviously also grieving, but playing it really well, but in a way that felt to me like more irritating. But again, I was watching them all the way through, and I, because she is the character that I think is really the heart of this revival. I don't know if you would agree with that, but it seemed to be really about her in a way.
Yeah.
I like, you get the most time with her. So I was like, oh, I'm so sick of her. Mm-hmm.
You know what? And that was really nice, because I think that what this revival did is it allowed us to understand Emily a little bit more.
Yeah.
I think that it's hard for a lot of people that love this show. It's hard to understand why Emily is the way she is, because the show is set up for you to sympathize with Lorelai and to sympathize with Rory. And Emily and Richard are wonderful characters, but they really do take a backseat in seasons 1 through 7, except for that small little story arc that they have right in the middle where they're split up for a minute. That's like the most time we ever spend with them. So to kind of, it just like the, in a strange way, I think that Edward Herman's passing allowed Kelly Bishop as Emily to, like, Kelly Bishop to explore Emily more. I'm not sure if they would have done the same thing.
Yeah.
If he had still been alive. So.
Yeah, I really feel that his absence was really felt in a couple ways. Definitely in Emily's storyline, as you say, I don't think they would have done that if he had still been in the show. And, you know, the way that they kind of dealt with the gap he left in there was really, really beautiful, I think, and really, like, honored him and as sort of represented by that looming portrait that we were all kind of laughing about when we did the trailer thing, and we were talking about how big it was. And
it was still, you know, funny when they unveiled it. Yeah, in the show.
It was funny, but like that scene when they have the little one was really emotional. And yeah, that scene where Emily is saying, like, I made a mistake, you know, that was, again, like, oh, just Kelly Bishop was really devastating in this. But I also think for me, I really missed his presence in a way I kind of didn't expect, just in the viewing experience. Not that I thought we weren't going to notice that, you know, Richard wasn't in it or anything, but I don't know if I really realized how grounding he was to the show and to the relationship with the three characters, because obviously he has a somewhat fraught relationship with both Rory and Lorelai and, you know, Emily at times, but his relationship with each of them is much milder than their relationship with each other. And he kind of often centered those scenes that they were in together. I missed it as like a viewer and kind of in the dialogue and everything, as well as in the way that they intended, as far as building the plot around him. So,
yeah. I totally agree. And one of my favorite moments in the whole show is that scene where Rory comes back to the big Gilmore house to write the first three chapters. In his office. Yeah. And that was just such a, like, it was such a nice tribute to him.
Yeah. Just to see her walking beautiful. Through
and just feeling that he's still there. I mean, my grandparents are, fortunately, they're still alive, but my great-grandparents, I was very lucky to have them both later in life. Like, my great-grandfather died when I was 11, and my great-grandmother died when I was 25. So we had them for, you know, a lot longer than most people have their great-grandparents. And I walk into their house sometimes in San Diego, because my aunt and uncle still live in the same house that my great-grandparents have owned for decades. I still feel them there when I'm walking through sometimes. And so it was really nice to see that manifested, because it's a very real idea.
Yeah. And manifested literally.
Right.
Like, to actually see him.
Yeah. I mean, like, sometimes I walk into that house and I can still, like, I turn a corner and I'm like, oh, it smells like them. And then it just goes away.
Yeah.
So it's like, it was really nice to see that on a show like this. And Rory had such a special relationship with Richard that it would make sense for her to be the one to feel that way. It was nice for her to have that moment.
Yeah, especially because I almost feel like her grieving process was a little skipped over in favor of, like, going into more depth on Lorelai and Emily's, because Rory always was away and had other things going on. And I'm really glad that they had that moment together. And I'm really glad we got to see him on screen, even if just for a minute, because, you know, I think all Gilmore Girls fans would definitely feel that way. but those were the moments where I was like, oh, I'm not crying, but you know, something is happening in my eyes. Like I am having a reaction to this. So yeah. And okay. Like well, we'll come back to Rory, but let's talk about Lorelai, seeing as we were saying, she kind of felt like the central character. I've said that, you know, I did find her a little, grating at times, like just frustrating in her kind of just the things that which I've talked about on the specials before, and kind of what I perceive as being a sort of immature reaction or a kind of spontaneous reaction without any thought to consequences. Although I thought it was very telling when Emily says, like, you never do anything that you don't want to do, and you never do anything without thinking exactly like what it is that you're trying to do, which I felt was incredibly accurate in a way. But what did you feel about her storyline kind of in general over the course of the revival?
I was a little bit worried when they brought up the fact that she was lying to Luke about going to therapy and yeah. stuff like that. I was like, oh God, here we go again. Like, same old Lorelai. Why can't you just do this one thing different? You do this every time. And I understand that for her, it's a defense mechanism, but it's just, it gets so tiring as a viewer because you want so badly for these characters to be happy. And if not for her, like for the sake of Luke, who like deserves yeah. all the happiness in the world, just like tell the truth, please. So that, I was worried about that, but I think that they tied it up really well. And I think that for her character, it kind of made sense for her to relapse, because after all of this was said and done, I just feel like she's finally gotten to a place where she doesn't have to be that person anymore.
Yeah, I would agree.
So I kind of, if they hadn't have had that whole revelation and she hadn't have gone through with the wedding that actually felt sincere this time, I would have felt a little less satisfied by her storyline. But because you could really tell that she had made peace with like all of her inner demons with regards to commitment and stuff like that, it kind of just made me feel a little bit better about the whole thing.
Yeah, I really liked it. Again, in hindsight from the end, I found the middle was a little difficult to kind of keep up with. I didn't love the wild bit, but I kind of get what they were doing. It just seemed to be a lot, like as with a few things in here, it just kind of was, okay, we get it. Like, you can go back to what's going to happen next now. But yeah, I really liked the ending with Luke. I was kind of sad we didn't get to see like a Stars Hollow wedding. I guess we've kind of saw that with Max, but like with the party, but you know, I would have really liked to see a wedding with like all of the townspeople there, but I understand why they didn't do that. I definitely felt closure on Lorelai's storyline, as it were. And that felt really natural, the way that they did go about it in the end, of just being like, we're going now.
Yeah. Yeah. And I did appreciate that. I thought it was really cute that they had somehow, dragged Lane along with them too, because
yeah,
you know, that is kind of like her actual second daughter, even though Paris had that whole scene where she was like, I've always considered yeah. you a second mother.
Yeah, I like that they played that for laughs. They're like, that was funny.
Yeah.
There are a couple of things with Lorelai's storyline that I wasn't like super, not that I didn't like it, but they kind of dropped them, like the baby thing, which seemed like they were playing that at the start as if she did want a baby and Luke didn't. And at least that's how it came across to me. Like, she was kind of like, well, maybe. And Luke was like, no, we're not doing it. And she was like, oh yeah, no, we're not doing it. And then also the therapy storyline, which again just sort of disappeared, and I get that it was just a thing to be like a cause of communication issues or whatever between them, but I don't know, I would have kind of liked that to be just rounded off a little more, both of those things, because there was so much time in
yeah,
this.
Yeah,
it would have been nice.
That's the other thing too, it's kind of like, there is no excuse for not doing it because there was so right. much time. But yeah. I did, at the same time, I did, like my brother was asking about that because he watched the first two episodes and he was like, I don't know if it's just because I'm used to 45 minutes or what, but it felt like a really long time. And he's like, do you think it was necessary? And I said, you know what? Like, I understand why they gave each episode 90 minutes, and it's because it allows for time to get spent on the things that really need time to get spent on without like taking away from that the quirky lighter moments, which I think yeah. it kind of balanced it out. Because like the first episode, it gets really heavy in the middle with all of the funeral stuff and all the Richard stuff. And I think they kind of needed the space to do that in a lot of these episodes. So while it was a little slow at times, I understand why they were the length that they were.
Yeah, versus I think I would say that they could have all been about an hour. I think they could have edited, like, for example, the musical plot. What the hell was that? Like, I love Sutton Foster and Christian Bale, don't get me wrong, but, like, what was the point of that? We got to watch, like, 15 minutes of musical in the middle. All that storyline about, like, Lorelai sitting in on the meetings and stuff went nowhere, had nothing to do with anything. For me, I have to say, just because I'm sure we'll come across anyway, like, I found I really liked Winter. Fall was, if I can just ignore the final four words for a second, just because they're kind of coloring how I feel about everything. Fall was definitely my favorite. I really like Winter. I found Summer to be quite hard going. And so I feel like the pacing thing really showed up for me in that one. I think for me, it was the weakest episode anyway, but it was also like, I don't know. Like, I was talking about this with Mike when we were watching it, and I understand the point that he was making, which was like, well, you know, people just want to sort of spend time in the world and like, and spend time with these characters. And I totally understand people who want that from this, but I guess I realized watching it that that's not what I want from Gilmore Girls. I love the world, but I want the stories. And again, like, this is only a day after we've seen it. It's we haven't had heaps of time to process this. And I think that this will, I think my reaction will mellow a lot. I'm predicting it will definitely mellow a lot going forward when I rewatch, but watching it all in a big, like we watched the 6 hours over like 7 hours or something ridiculous. Watching it like that, it just seemed at times the pacing just seemed like, it was really indulgent. I think at minimum Netflix should not have released it all in one day, because this was not a show that I felt, and you took much bigger breaks than me, but it's definitely not a show that I felt was made for binging it. I think that really took away from my experience, honestly, watching it, especially in those middle episodes. But how did you feel? Cause you watched one at midnight, right? And then you spread it out a little more.
Yeah, I had to spread it out I was forced to spread it out because I have so much family in town for Thanksgiving. That's the other thing too. It's like, I think that like releasing it during the holiday was very smart, but also it kind of sucked for people that had things to do. So I watched one at midnight because I knew I needed to at least watch the first one. I felt like I needed to do that. And that was really nice. It was just, I think Winter had like all the whimsy and that I wanted it to have as kind of like a welcome back to this world that we love. And then the next day I watched Spring, and then I had to take a break to be with family. And then I watched Summer that night. And then I watched, I watched Fall in the morning.
And so, you felt like the pacing kind of worked.
Yeah.
From that. Yeah. So that's interesting.
Yeah.
Because we started at like 10 and finished at 5.
Yeah, I don't know if I'm wondering if I would have been able to sit through all of it at once.
It was rough.
That's something that I can't that's something that I can't answer, because the thing is like at the end of the first episode you want to watch more, because Lorelai realizes that she's got to go to therapy now with her mother, which is something that she does not want to do. But then these episodes tend to drag a tiny little bit in the middle, and then they pick up steam and you want to watch more. So I understand why somebody would want to sit and watch all of it, but I didn't have the luxury of doing that, which I guess ended up being a blessing in disguise.
I think so. Yeah. Ours was more like, you know, I have limited time here. So we had to set aside a day to do it. And also, we had stuff in the evening, and you know, there's only so much time. Like, I really just didn't want to be spoiled on social media. So that's why we did the whole thing. But I would be really curious, people listening to this, how you watched it. If you know, I know some of you have obviously watched the whole thing, but, did you like race through it? Did you break it out a little? And how do you feel like that affected your kind of experience of it, because I felt really, I mean, I don't want to get people wrong and make this, I hope this doesn't come across as like I'm really hating on the show or anything. It's just, I felt kind of fatigued after watching it, which I know seems like a weird thing, but as, again, I'll steal Mike's point, like the first time you watch the show, you're really watching it for plot. And so it was hard for me to kind of really enjoy all of those other little moments that we got in the world that I'm sure other people picked up on, because I was waiting for like, okay, but what's going to happen with all these characters? Like, where are they going to end up? What's going to happen with them? And so, like you said, like you're just putting on the next episode and like waiting to find out and like going next to next and like waiting to see. And so anything that isn't directly related to plot, like the musical or, you know, like the baby thing or whatever, you're like, why is this here? You know, this is getting in my way. So, that's definitely part of it.
I will say that, like, as like kind of undecided as we are on certain plot points, what I did appreciate is that they really did a good job wrapping up the storylines of secondary characters, which is really nice, because I think that you assume that there will always be things that go unsaid between like our three main girls, but it was just nice to kind of have those moments, with the exception of one person that did not get the farewell I needed of This Is All. It was really
Blaine?
Nice.
Blaine?
Oh, well, yeah, that too. I was going to say Jess, our boy Jess. Oh,
well, can we come to him in a second?
Yeah, we can come to him. Because I feel like
we didn't quite finish off. We're sort of meandering all over the place, yeah, guys. Sorry. Yeah. We didn't quite finish up on Rory, so we'll get to her. But speaking of secondary characters, the other thing I was also sad was that we didn't get to see more of Paris. I loved her appearances. I was sad about her and Doyle. I was really sad about it. And I was sad that, again, it was just one of those things that kind of dropped off and we kind of didn't hear about it. But Liza Weil is amazing and like a force to be reckoned with. And her scenes were all so fantastic.
Her scene at Chilton, like her mental breakdown in the bathroom, was one of my favorite scenes in the entire series.
Yeah. I'm sure everyone else has done this, but we rewinded it to check. Like, it was not Chad.
No,
Murray.
I did the same thing. And it's like so funny because like major teaser for things to come. We recorded our like initial reactions on video, and that was like,
yes,
one of the first
they may
I said,
appear
I was, like,
sometime.
I have to rewind to check, but I'm like 90% yeah. positive that was not Chad Michael Murray.
Right. I was like, if they've cast Chad Michael Murray in this and they've paid him for it, they're not going to show a shot that maybe isn't, that doesn't right. look quite like him. But no, he went back. It was not him. It was funny that he got a shout out though. I thought that was really funny.
It was really cute and it made sense. I mean, like, I don't know. I don't know if like any of our listeners are like old enough to have had like 5-year high school reunions or anything like that, but nothing so like humbles you more than going back to visit like with old high school like people, if you're, especially if you're from a small town, like I'm from a small town that is also very picturesque, like Stars Hollow, and it's just like there's no experience more humbling. Like, as great as you feel about what you're doing, it all just kind of comes crashing down when you're in a room with people that have known you since right. you were like 5 years old. So
yeah, you're like, okay, yeah, no, I love that stuff. I really like the stuff with Rory and the teaching too. I was like, yeah, do that. Like, you would,
you're
be
like,
be
an
you
academic
be good at that. Yeah,
join
yes.
me on my PhD journey, Rory.
Yeah, I was like, come on, Rory, you've like repped Pam and Selena this whole time, give me something. Yeah. I was you know, I liked the Suki kind of cameo. I thought that was really good. I really liked the Dean cameo. I thought that was really well
done. That
was
so sweet.
Yeah, and he looks so
good. He
looks
so good.
Oh, they all look
they all look
so
really good.
Good.
You know, the only one that looked like the only Gilmore guy that looked older was Zach.
Right, Zach looked terrible.
Yeah, looks like a grandpa. I was like, what happened?
Zach has
here?
Not aged well. No. I know. Imagine if they had like snuck in a Dave Rogalski cameo.
Oh, I would have died.
We would have died. It would have made. I wouldn't have cared what the last four words were. At
you
that
would
point.
Have heard me yelping from like up in Northern California, all the way down there in Southern
yeah,
California.
For real.
You would have been like, oh, that's Pam. She's gotten to the yep. Dave part.
Yep. Yep. Who else was there? I mean, we'll get to Logan in a second. Oh, the Christopher one. You know, the Christopher one, he also looks good.
Oh, so good. I saw him in a Lifetime movie the other day. I think I texted you, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. He was Santa's son or something.
Yeah, he was Santa's son.
Plot twist. I really liked his cameo, but I have to say, as soon as Rory was there and started asking all these questions about, even though, you know, I guess they tried to present that as like being research for the book, as soon as she started asking all of these questions about like the father not being around and everything, I was like, oh God, she's pregnant. Like, she's pregnant. Maybe she's not, but she's definitely pregnant. And I couldn't like shake that thought out of my head from that conversation.
Really?
But,
wow.
Yeah, you didn't get that?
No, because, that's, you know, the vibe the thing I totally is, got like, from it. My father is also estranged. So I think that anytime there are tough conversations to be had with Christopher, especially, I just kind of, they're hard yeah. to watch for me for a completely different reason. Like, some people just cringe and some people are just angry, and I'm just kind of like angry and upset.
Yeah,
and, like,
it's all close.
Of the above. So
that totally makes sense.
Yeah, but
I feel like his cameo kind of fit his mm-hmm, character
it
though.
Did yeah and, yeah and it's just like but I think that it was important for Rory to have that conversation. And in a way, it was important for Rory to have that conversation for us, the audience, because these are all questions that we've always had. Like, did right. Lorelai do the right thing? Could Christopher had come in? And like, clearly the answer is no. So.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, the other character who I thought was like well-placed was April. You know, we obviously had to see her.
That was
and,
so good.
Like, that was, I thought that was cute, like, seeing her and Rory kind of have a bonding moment, yeah. and I thought that was good. Mm-hmm. Is there anyone else, like, that we're missing?
I mean, Digger had a short little cameo that was kind of fun.
Yeah, we were, like, yelling at the screen when that happened.
Yeah, I was like, what?
Like, no.
Mitchum,
everyone got one.
Mitchum
Miss Celine
is the
one.
Had one.
Oh, Mitchum, that
the
one
that...
made me... Yeah.
Yeah, that one made me jump. I was like, speak of the devil,
same.
What is this?
Yeah, that one made me jump a little. All right, let's talk about the Huntsburgers. Before I rant about it, what did you think about the Rory Logan kind of situation?
I was so frustrated with Rory because, well, while she was she was not an angel in seasons 4 and 5, and there's blame to be had on both accounts between what happened with her and Dean the second time around. This time it was like, Rory, you're old enough to know that this is wrong and you're still doing
right.
it anyway. And this is just no, like, this is so bad on so many levels, and nothing, no excuse she could ever make could make what she was doing okay. So that really bothered me a lot. Although at the same time, it was like so funny because when the times hit, came to say goodbye to Logan, like, I did get, like, a little emotional. So it was, like, really strange. I was very conflicted by the whole thing. But, like, you just can't deny that this was not the right thing. And I just can't believe that she was doing this.
I really like the goodbye. And I again, this kind of ties back to what I was saying about this feeling kind of like Amy Sherman-Palladino more than in any other storyline, sort of just fixing something, like getting the character back. So I could kind of imagine Rory having this kind of goodbye with Logan in an Amy Sherman-Palladino season 7 or 8 rather than the proposal kind of thing, like, not with the cheating part, but a kind of like, oh, it's never, no, we need to say goodbye and like whatever. So I thought the way that they sent the characters off was really sweet. I'm really sad that it took like, what, 3.5 episodes to get there, because I feel like we had so much time with Logan in the show. Like, I just didn't want to have another, and I know Logan fans will be thrilled with this, but like, I don't even know if I would have wanted like 3.5. So I lie. I probably would have loved 3.5 seasons of Jess, but like, I think in an objective sense, I would have also been able to see like, that's too much time for Rory's storyline to be about one guy. When she has like all the career stuff going on, but the cheating thing, I just can't get over it. And also Lorelai's reaction to it, like that just, she's like, oh, he's engaged to someone. And she's like, oh, okay. All right.
Yeah.
And like, what? Like, you didn't speak to each other. And obviously they're older now, but I just can't imagine either of those characters being like cool and chill with that situation.
I think that not enough emphasis was put on the fact that this is just, cheating is morally wrong on so many levels.
And, right.
And that was like the honestly, the thing that made me the most uncomfortable of the whole
situation. Especially given like Lorelai's past with Christopher and Luke and Rory's past with Dean, and then suddenly like, oh, cheating is just something that's totally fine. And even on Rory's part, like, she's, I mean, I hated that plot line with the guy whose name she couldn't remember.
Oh, Paul,
like, there are a couple funny jokes in there, but like, not worth the value of the the sketch, as it were, you know what I mean? I thought it made her look really horrible. I thought all of the relationships this season made her look really horrible. And, like, Rory has her issues, but I don't think that this is... I don't think she's particularly, like, terrible in a relationship.
No. And it's so funny and it because
made
she's...
her seem like that.
Well, it's also really funny because up until the whole debacle with Dean, you could just kind of... Well, even after, she had always been the person that insisted on monogamy and commitment and all of this stuff. And then all
with
of a sudden,
Logan, right.
Right. And all of a sudden, like, it's okay for her to do this with Logan when she would have flipped out if she had
and
been
she's
the one
the
engaged.
Other woman.
Yeah. It's just,
exactly.
It was so
wrong. Exactly.
And I don't care. Like, I'm sure that, like, they could come back and be like, oh, but, like, Logan's just marrying Odette out of, like, it's like a
family
like a,
obligation,
yeah, family obligation,
or
it's a professional match. It doesn't matter. It's just like
because,
at that point, that's
because
still another
the implication
human.
Is the implication in the show is that Odette does not know. Like, if she knew, it would be a different conversation. But Paul definitely doesn't know,
right?
And Odette doesn't know. And the fact that Rory's lying about it to Lorelai says that, like, she knows that it's not cool. So, like, why is she doing it?
Right.
I don't know, it felt like it dragged on a lot. I didn't like the like, it made Rory seem really mean, all that stuff with Paul. And then, like, and also something else that I was wondering about, because, you know, Emily's storyline is obviously a storyline of grieving, but Rory and Lorelai, it seems like they were kind of struggling a little prior to Richard's death, because with Lorelai, it's Suki being away, and they make a mention of, like, she's been away for a year, and that's definitely before Richard died. And, like, she hasn't hired a new chef. And with Rory, it's like, oh, she's been with Paul for, like, 2 years, almost 2 years or something, they say, and she can't remember his name. And, like, again, that's before Richard died. So, yeah, both of those made me, I guess, kind of dislike the characters a little, because I was like, oh, I can't even say that this is, like, an act of sort of grief and mourning and like getting sort of dealing with something like that. It's just like you, Lorelai, kind of scrambling, and you, Rory, like just being mean, just not being nice to this guy.
Yeah, it was really, it made me uncomfortable. Like, it really did.
Same.
And it was just
every time
too
I was
bad.
On screen.
Mm-hmm. And I would have liked more, selfishly, because, you know, I just like the idea of, like, Rory being a freelancer and not really knowing, like, what the future holds and stuff like that. Obviously, like, that resonates with me on a completely personal level. But even if it didn't, I would still want more time put into what's going to happen with her career.
Yeah. What did you think about the book then?
I think that it was the logical next step. Like, I've thought about writing a book as well. Like, and I'm in a very similar position as Rory is, just, you know, in terms of, like, trying to figure out what comes next and how long freelancing's going to work out and if I'm going to have another job and stuff like that. So having something like a book on the back burner, it is the logical, like, next step, like, realistically for somebody that's in a profession like Rory. But, yeah, I don't know. That was kind of very meta, wasn't it? Like, the idea.
It was
of
really
it.
Meta.
Yeah.
Almost when they introduced that, I was kind of expecting the last four words to be, the last four words to be, like, related to that. Like, and that was the end. And, like, then they closed the book and that's the end.
It was kind of like,
I'm glad
like
they didn't do that.
Oh my gosh. Well, it was like, it's like Dawson's Creek too. Like, Dawson grows up, becomes a movie, like a movie producer, like a TV director. I can't remember which one. And he's literally working on Dawson's Creek. So it's like almost a little too much to wrap your brain around the idea.
Yeah.
But if you consider these, like, if you were to take a step back and think, like, oh, like, I'm not watching a show, like, these are real people, you know, because sometimes they do feel very real, it would make sense for, it is a wonderful story, you know, and that's why we're all so compelled. So if you think about it that way, like, it's a little Truman Show-esque, you know, but if you think about it that way, it does make sense that at some point she would want to write the story about her mother.
I didn't hate that. Mm-hmm. I really didn't hate that bit. I, like I said, now I'm feeling kind of the most negative about Rory's storyline. I think that has a lot to do with exactly what we were just talking about, Logan, and just about the lack of, like, kind of change, I suppose, in her professional career. Like, it's just sort of like, oh, the journalism thing didn't work out, and now I'm freelancing, that hasn't worked out. And they kind of show her to be not the most competent, like going to the meeting and not having a pitch ready and, like, all these kinds of
things.
That was
actually,
like,
that's more ego.
Is so, I was like, this is, yeah, and I get that, but I was like, oh, I really want Rory to like succeed at this thing. I think, like, I don't know, I'm like cheering her on. I want to see this, but also, of course, it had to do with Jess. So let's talk quickly about him, and then we might wrap up with some emails, because we've been at this for, as always, much longer than we probably anticipated. But Pam, like, my hopes were so high. He like turns up in episode 3. And like he says, you know, he sees Luke and he's like such a grown up and it's all going great. And I was like, oh, okay, well maybe that's, we're just kind of gonna have him in this role and that's fine. And you know, whatever, it's okay. They're not gonna get together now. And I was kind of at peace with that at the end of episode 3. And then in episode 4, like him and Rory have moments and all of that, and then there's that moment where Luke is like, oh, you're over her, and they show the very obvious like longing and pining on his face, and I was like, oh my God, it's gonna happen, it's gonna happen, of course not realizing how little time was left in the episode. And then that's just it, like, and he's not even at the wedding,
No, that was
and
the
it was really
worst. It
sad.
was really sad because you know what? At the end of the day, as much as we want like him and Roy to be together, even if they decided that he wasn't the person for her to end up with in the end, I would have wanted more closure for him. That's not, everybody
Right.
else
There was
gets
no
their
closure.
goodbye and then Jess just
Yeah.
gets pining at the window.
I know.
That's
It's
the
such a Jess thing,
worst.
though.
I
Like,
know, the
pining at the
tortured
window.
soul. He's just
Oh
gonna
my
go
God.
write about
Yeah.
it at his printing press. Like,
Yeah.
God.
So true. I know, but I did feel like the closure was really lacking there. I mean, people are saying, like, well, you're gonna get another season and, you know, what might happen. But if this is all we get, I feel like I kind of get why maybe like they don't explicitly say what's going to happen, because like very clear Jess is still interested and like Rory's ended everything with every other guy and now she's free and like, oh, who might help her like take care of this baby? That's obviously, well, it's Logan's or that Wookiee one night stands, I
That's what I was
guess.
gonna say. I was talking to somebody else. I was like, so is it
Yeah.
Logan's or the Wookiee? Because
Right. We'll see. I guess see how
she
Harry is.
definitely isn't hanging out enough with Paul for it
No,
to
it's
be
definitely not
Paul's.
Paul's. No, definitely not. But like, it's one of theirs, and I mean, like, is Jess gonna be the kind of Luke figure to like? I don't know. It's just weird. I wish there was some like, cause he's the only one that didn't really get a moment with Rory to say goodbye. Like everyone else got their goodbye moment with Rory, and like Dean's, I thought was so well done, and I was just hoping for something similar. And now I feel like Pam, it's just not
It's
over.
not,
Like
no.
we needed the
I
closure.
know, but
It's
you know
too
what? If
stressful.
we, you know, this is probably a good segue into the bit of listener feedback we have because it ties in very well to some of the comments that we got. So,
Okay, let's
do you
do
have
it.
any
You want to
other like,
start?
sure. Do you want me to get this first one or this longer one?
Well, maybe the second one is about Jess, so let's start with that.
Okay, let's go with this one from Emmy Foss, who emailed us and said, I have so many feels about what happened. I binged it too fast and I got all empty again when it was over. For the most part, I loved it. Fall was my favorite episode, with winter coming in pretty close. My main gripes are with Rory's story. And it's not even a shipper thing, though it is also a shipper thing because, goddamn it had been so perfect for her to end up with Jess. But like, I like how she was seeing Logan even though he was engaged, how that wasn't wrong for her despite everything that happened in seasons 4 and 5. The career thing was fine, not what I would have wanted, but I didn't hate it. I loved Lorelai's story, though. I loved every beat of it. I was worried for a while, but it was always supposed to be Luke, and I can't be mad at the revival that gave Luke and Lorelai the ending they deserved. Also, my sister totally called the ending, and I realized that Rory was pregnant when she went to see Christopher, and it's clearly Logan's kid, but I like to believe that she ended up with Jess because the Logan equals Christopher parallels and Luke equals Jess parallels were obvious. Jess will always be waiting for Rory.
Yeah, I think I said when we finished the thing, like, well, there's a lot of fan fiction to be written about this ending, because yeah. So Pam, what were your favorite? What was kind of your order of episodes? I said mine a little while ago. I think Emmy and I are sort of on the same page.
I think I'm on the same page with you guys. I think that I think fall's my favorite, and then winter. And spring comes before summer because spring has that
Yeah.
awesome scene with Paris at Chilton in it, and that's like
Yes.
st probably
And
my
no
favorite scene.
musical.
Yeah, and then the yeah. and then Summer with the musical. But yeah, I also yeah, like so very like tiny little shout out to the Life and Death Brigade because I loved that whole with a little help from my friends scene. It was like so like the motion in that was so fluid. It was just like so fun. I loved that.
That was great, and I actually really loved those Life and Death Brigade boys. I love Finn, Australian represent. The line about like someone saying he was from New Zealand or something just made me cackle. So that was amazing. But and I like that we got to see. That was a good cameo too.
I love the nod to the Wizard of Oz ending too, with like Rose saying goodbye to all of them. That was really sweet. And
yeah, it was beautiful. Okay, we have an email here from Laura who says, "All I can say is it was very interesting. It did not end in a way I expected, but it ended. But I loved seeing all my characters get an ending that felt natural. I will always want more, but overall it was a great ending to a series that captured my heart since I was a teenager. Do you think more can be on the way?" And we also had a tweet from Martha who said, "There's going to be another Year in the Life, right? Right?" And then like very shocked emoji. There's already been talk of this, right? Like I'm sure we'll get into this on our future specials and we might even have more news by then, but was it a Vulture article going around? Have you seen that?
Where I've been
Amy Sherman Palladino saying.
I've been trying to stay away from all the articles because I was so scared. We were both scared of getting spoiled before the show actually premiered. So we were like, especially when all the reviews started coming out too. I do know that Scott Patterson has been particularly vocal about wanting to come back. So
yeah, it was actually in the same article. I saw it going around today. So after I'd seen the whole show, and Scott Patterson was saying like, "I would really like to come back. It'd be fun to do it every couple years, like just film for, you know, a couple months. It was really easy to do and just check in, blah, blah, blah." And Amy Sherman Palladino said something to the effect of, "We've told the story that we wanted to tell. And like, we've left the characters sort of in the place we originally wanted to leave them. And then like whatever happens next happens," or something like that. So, I mean, I kind of wouldn't be surprised if they did another one, maybe in a few years, but I just wonder about them being able to get the cast. I mean, I guess if they sort of wait and schedule around them, they could manage it. But like, I'm just thinking about like different cast members. For example, like all of the cast who came back to do this and do their little cameos and everything, like they most likely would not be able to fit in, you know, being on the show again, like next time, say. So would we want to see that? But then again, like the response to the revival has been even more probably than they expected, in terms of just like fan response and fan demand. So like, of course I wouldn't say no if they wanted to do more. It would be great. I need closure on Jess. I still don't have that and I am semi-frustrated. But yeah, I don't know. I'm kind of not counting on it anytime soon. What do you think?
I think that you're right in terms of thinking that if we do get it, it'll maybe be in a couple of years down the road. The only thing that kind of gives me hope is that so many of these actors have been so vocal about saying that they would be down to come back. Like basically anything Amy wants, Amy will get if she wants them to do. Yeah, and we've seen that too with she did like the show Bunheads and stuff like that. She was able to bring like so many people on from Gilmore Girls to do that because they just love working with her so much. So I'm sure that if she had more story to tell, like so many of these people would make it work. And that's kind of nice to know. It's a testament to how they are as showrunners and how much they love being with each other as a cast. And that's always good. It always bodes well for the potential of more.
I think so too. And, you know, I think that's a nice place to leave it. We are obviously going to have a lot more to say about this revival and we want to hear from you guys. So make sure to let us know your feedback. Please don't send us spoilers yet because Selena hasn't seen it all. But you can tweet us at HyperbuleHype and you can send your spoiler filled thoughts. And, you know, Pam and I might respond to some of them to our email. We are hype@hyperbule.com, or you can leave a comment on this podcast post on hyperbole.com, of course, because we imagine that only people reading the comments will be the people who have seen the whole show. And yeah, like I said, I think my reaction will be more positive and more mellow as we kind of come to those in detail responses and we can sort of dig in deeper to the episode, and we'll watch them individually with breaks for like things like, you know, food and air and water and all those important things. And yeah, that's kind of it.
Yeah, it was fun.
It was fun.
Definitely, like, if you have thoughts on specific episodes, feel free to email those in. Like Marima said, just make sure that you label them, you know, like Gilmore Girls reaction to Fall or whatever. And that way we'll just kind of know which ones
That'd be great.
Start picking out, like, and start sending them in whenever you guys feel like it, because we'll be planning out when we're going to do all the shows and stuff like that very soon. So,
yes, definitely. Thank you guys for tuning in. And we will talk to you next time. We'll be back with more in winter. Ooh, winter. I almost saw snow today.
Oh, did you?
True story. Yeah, oh, I know. Wow. Very appropriate.
Up in the peaks of the mountains.
The peaks of California or something.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, I should have looked out for Lorelai Gilmore.
Yeah, somebody screaming, "I smell snow!"
Yeah. Oh, man.